knowing him. And have you ever heard the saying, it's who you know that makes the difference? Well, we know the creator of the heavens and the earth. Our lives should be indescribable, untamable. Our lives are just beyond our greatest expectations. In fact, that's how God speaks. He wants to bless us exceedingly abundantly, more than abundant life, all these things. That's who our God is. And the thing is that he wants us to know him. I think the microphone just went on. Okay, so you don't want this. Oh, okay. So I would like to share on developing a personal relationship with God and his son, Jesus Christ. One of the most memorable verses that Reverend Ken Petty opened my eyes to was in John 17:3. And if you want to turn to that, I'm going to use the New King James Version for most of my verses. And this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know is the Greek word gnosko, which involves an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our Lord Jesus Christ, our big brother. This relationship is it also imitates the relationship of a husband and wife. That's the most intimate relationship you will have. It's one flesh. But it's even bigger than that, than a husband and wife, because my husband can't read my mind. But God knows every thought that we have before we even speak it out. So that is how big this relationship is. Jesus used the word gnosko when he described the shepherd knowing his sheep. If you look at John chapter 10, verse 14 through 15, that's how big God is. It's not just a superficial thing. It is the very best of everything that we can have. And you'll just see, I think you'll see how amazing this is. And the amazing thing is he craves our fellowship. And yet we should be the ones craving his. But he so wants to love us. And he wants us to enjoy that. But John 10, 14 through 15 says, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The shepherd knows his sheep. It says that the sheep know his voice. That's how big that personal relationship is for us. And knowing his sheep is much more than facts. There's another Greek word, oida, used in the New Testament. And it's knowledge through facts. But this is an intimate knowledge. And gnosko leads to love. 1 John 4:7-8, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's that gnosko. Everyone that loves knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this is the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Isn't that wonderful? That's what, when we get to know God intimately, we are just overcome with love. We know how to love one another. Probably the first step in loving is loving yourself, realizing that you are lovable. Many times through life, we have circumstances where we think or we are made to feel like we are not lovable, that we're damaged goods. And yet, when we get born again, then we are, become a new creation. We're a whole new entity, a whole new person that we have to, the battlefield is in the mind. You know, I love what Jan shared last week on the battlefield, that God's the battle is the Lord's. And when the Lord does something, he does it so that we don't really need to get any credit. He puts the priests and the singers up front for the battle. Now, what commander-in-chief would do such a thing like that? It's like, are you crazy? That's sacrificing all these people. And yet, he did it because the rest of the armies, the bad guys, they killed themselves. So they didn't, warriors never had to come out. That's how God works. And he wants to take our battles because he knows that we have them. He knows all we have to do is allow him to be a part of our lives. We want to love God deeply so we can live differently. That was a quote I read recently. And Psalm 139 explains how close this relationship is. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Before we even speak it out, he knows that what's going on in our minds. And then verse 17 says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. You added up all the thoughts that God has. There wouldn't be a number. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Aren't we precious in his sight? He says it. We just have to believe it. If these are the greatest relationships we could have, wouldn't it be important to develop a lifestyle of intimacy? Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, most of the time in religion, you learn about God as an angry God. He's just looking for opportunity to correct you. And yet, God is so far from that. He's like that forgiving father that's waiting for his son to come back. And then he doesn't reprove him and say, why'd you do it? He hands him over the best robe. He gets the signet ring on his hand to get him back into that authority that he had. Well, we have the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, and we can do the works that he did. So our lives are tremendous. So how do we start developing this relationship or continue? I know we've all, God's word and the Lord Jesus Christ are very important in all of our lives. Otherwise we wouldn't be here today. We'd probably be at the Baptist church throwing water on each other. But that's not going to make any difference, is it? Daniel shared Wednesday about it. Our attitude makes a difference in your life. If we say I am what the Word of God says I am, I will be what the Word of God says I will be, then we're taking the first steps in believing because I'm hearing the Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. We need to meditate on God's Word. So probably the first key to continue developing your relationship is to eat the Word of God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That's the best diet we can go on. John 5:39 says, I'm going to read the NLT version. It says, you search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to me. You know, it's not the works of searching the Scriptures, but believing the Scriptures regarding our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't say this, but eternal life I always thought was a matter of time. But it's a relationship. That's what it's all about. And it starts from the time you get born again. You got that seed of God and Christ in you. So you start that relationship and it will continue. It continues the rest of our lives. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, all the Scriptures point to Jesus Christ, so we have to know who he is. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth. So everyone's looking for the truth. Well, this is the only truth, like Bob told his brother. If you want to know what's really going on, look to God's word. Because the adversary never has a new thing under the sun. It's all always the same, to try and get you to not believe in God, to turn God, what he does, into something negative. But that's not how it happens. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to look at another usage of the knowledge. To know. And God's word can't be just a factual thing, because there's power. It says the word is power. It's a light unto our path. That's power. You can see, boy, when there's the darkest days and you put God's word on, you're going to see power. You're going to see deliverance. This morning I actually woke up. I guess I hurt my sciatic nerve, and I could not even stand. I took a shower, and Bob had to actually dry my back. And within a half hour, I just claiming it, and here I am. Got my tennis shoes on, but that's all right. But he is so good, we have to continue to ask, and we'll get into that a little bit. 1 Timothy 2:1, we are called to prayer. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Not just to be saved, but to have a knowledge of this relationship that it's all about, the truth. Knowledge of something else, but an intimate knowledge of the truth. And who is the truth? Christ. Amen. That's right. We pray because it's God's desire that all men hear the truth. We pray for those that are in authority that they can know the truth. It doesn't matter who they are. It's we pray. And God makes a difference. He's telling us, so all we need to do is obey. That's very important in our walk. Jesus said, I am the truth. People need to understand Christianity is not a religion. It's not religion, it's a relationship. Prayer is a passion in my life, and it is the depth of the intimacy of the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Relationships are built on communication. And being born again, we receive the Spirit, and we can speak in tongues, and we can pray perfectly. That's God's language. So he's provided us with everything so that we can communicate, and that he can communicate with us through his word. This word is simply amazing. And it's going out around the world. There's even people I've heard of, that a woman that couldn't read in India, but she so wanted to know the word, read the word, that she just prayed, asked God to teach her how to read. Someone gave her a Bible and she started reading it. So the part of this developing intimacy is really communicating, asking God. When I was 18 years old, I asked my father, who I admired very much, how do you know that you're living according to God's will? He said, you'll know when you die. At 18 years old, I wasn't about to start to live my life any way I wanted to and then find out if it was right or wrong. So that started my quest to really know God. And I asked God, I was in Germany at the time for 6 months, and I asked God, show me the truth. And that pretty much, I would think, if you think about when you got involved in God's word and learned about God, that you probably asked a question. Show me, or help me, or something, or just the word help. That's a good asking. I need help. You know, if you don't have words to say, just say help. You know, he understands, and he already knows that thought before it even is spoken. God wants us to share with him what we are believing to receive. We do not pray our problems. You know, if you had a relationship and you're like, All you spoke about was how bad life was. Oh my gosh, it's not sunny enough today. Oh my gosh, my floors aren't shiny enough. You never spoke anything positive or uplifting. Do you think that relationship would last very long? No. Well, God doesn't want to hear how sad we are. He already knows it. He wants you to get honest and say, what do you want him to do? How about the leper that came to him to be healed? And Jesus said, what do you need? Well, it was kind of obvious, but sometimes we don't even know what we need. But that's where we need to get honest and let God help us figure out what the need is. Or I guess it was the one that says is always negative. We are, and we need to confess who we are. Who we are in Christ, and then receive the promises because of it. Are we asking enough? Are we asking and keeping on asking? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, if you want to look at that. I think this is a great verse, and there's lots of different translations of it that are good. But Matthew 7, 7 through 8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And some versions say, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Don't stop. There was a woman that went to the judge, and she kept saying, you know, I need this. And she finally wore him down. Well, God doesn't get worn down by us. He loves to hear our voices. He just can't wait to hear what we are believing to receive. He doesn't need to hear the bad stuff. He already knows that's going on. In any relationship, the desire for both parties to be blessed is very important, and that's what our Heavenly Father's all about. He wants us to be blessed. John 10:10 said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I, Jesus Christ said, am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly, to the fullness, till it overflows. Not just a life, you know, it's great to have life and to know God, but in that knowledge you become aware of the more abundant life. You know those scriptures that God has, Ephesians 3:20, things like that. So we need, when we help people receive God's word, know that they are born again, we need to teach them. What does that mean? You have a relationship. When we were at Agape Now yesterday, there was a man, we were talking about Jesus Christ, and he had heard a little bit, and I told him, it's not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. And he got it. He said, wow, you know, that helps me understand it a lot more. Look at Psalm 105. Love communicates a confidence and peace. In God's word, he associates faith, hope, and love together. Love is the bottom line. We must believe, expect, and then receive all the fullness of the Father's heart for each of his children, each individually. He knows even the hairs on our head. He knows when they drop. And if you're blonde, I guess you have even more hairs. Right, Dan? Once the Father's love is truly known, experienced, there's a sweet quietness to the soul. So Psalm 105, verse 4, I'm going to read the ESV version. It says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. I love that, continually. To get to know our Abba and our Lord intimately, we must spend time learning about them and communicating. Psalm 27:4, another great verse, and I'm going to read it again from the ESV. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I will seek after, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, and I will gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. You know, let's tell people who we know. Because who we know is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He chose his dwelling in each one of us. But people need to know that, because they need to know where we're coming from. We're coming from light, not darkness. In Luke chapter 24, verse 32, remember after the resurrection, Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, witnessed to two men. And actually, they have witnessed to him, because he says, "Why are you so sad?" And they said, "Well, didn't you hear about Jesus? It was resurrected from the dead." And he told them from the scriptures from Moses on about him, what was prophesied. And what did they say? They said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us when we heard the scriptures?" Well, I want all of you to have heartburn. That sounds really cruel. My daughter's having it right now because she's almost due to have a baby. But we want our hearts to burn within us. We want that word to just so, we want to become radiant of that word. And their lives were changed. Our lives are changed. A few days ago, I was journaling my thoughts and prayers to the Father. And I was thanking him for the opportunity to work with my son, Tim, who's a seismic engineer and started his own company in 2016. And he asked me a year ago if I would help oversee his books, finances, and I've been doing accounting for over 40 years. And I had, as I was writing, in my mind, I was thinking, years ago, I had the desire to become a CPA. And my dad was an accountant, and he wanted to be a CPA, but he helped my uncle out and didn't finish the exam. So I thought, well, I'll be the CPA, and my dad can work under me, and we can work together. It would be Evans & Evans CPA firm. And then I found God's word, and then I found Bob Linfelt, and my course changed. I ended up getting married right away and quit school. I did end up getting all the accounting classes I needed, which was purely God. And instead of becoming a CPA, I became a minister's wife. And I had always kind of thought, well, maybe I sacrificed that for God. And yet he told me, as I'm writing this, he says, "But you've been at your father's business all this time." I just didn't realize which father it was. It was my heavenly father's business that was truly my heart's desire. And so when you develop that intimate relationship, he can help remind you. Because the adversary is going to say, "Well, you missed out on your heart's desire." You know, Proverbs says that God will give us the desires of our heart. Well, I really thought that was it. And yet, God was so right. My life has been so different. And I was able to help my dad see how big God is, because I learned how big God is. And 2 weeks ago, we were up with our grandsons, watching them so Tim and Tristan could have a weekend away. And I was sitting on my grandson's bed, Collins, and he just had his birthday and had a big banner on his wall with this really cute looking cupcake. And then the teacher had written happy birthday and all the kids had signed it. And I said to him, I said, "Gosh, she's a really good artist." And I said, "She must be teaching for a long time." And he said, "No, not really. I think she's pretty young." And he says, "But that's okay, Grandma. You teach about Jesus, and that's much more important." And that my heart just melted when he said that. 7 years old, and he knows the importance and said, "That is more important than that cupcake." So, you know, when we choose God's way over what we think we want, and usually when we think what we want, we struggle with it. It doesn't come so easily. But when we accept God and all that he has for us, our lives are different. We get We get to know him by spending time in his word, in prayer, and walking out on the plans that he made for us. That's what our lives are all about. There's a plan he's made individually for each one of us. But we have to have that relationship with him to find out what it is. Hebrews 11:6. Let's turn to that. Be my last scripture. Our Father just so wants to enjoy blessing us and taking care of us and making us happy. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is." Do we know him? Yeah, we know who he is. He's that awesome God. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the giver of great gifts, that Holy Spirit. Rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not just Sundays, but 24 hours a day, diligently seek him. God will put all the pieces together for you when you ask him to show you, okay, this isn't working for me. And he will tell you, okay, this is what you need to do. But we need to take the time. And my call to action is, I encourage you to make a habit of spending time in God's word, practicing his presence, speaking in tongues, and praying with your understanding, praying for others. When we take our minds off of ourselves and look to others, we'll see the difference. Walking in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ and seeking his face will help in developing that intimate walk with him. Because to know him is to love him. And that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for who you are and who your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is, and that you crave our fellowship, and we so want to have heartburn for you. So I thank you that you have given us your word and that we can honestly go to it and learn of your love and grace and mercy. And I thank you for blessing each one of us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet for health, prosperity, for your joy just bubbling inside. And I thank you for calling us out to be your very own so that we can know you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Okay, well, we'll